You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
Yeah, we're talking about, I did that message on the way, the truth, and the life when Jesus talked about I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. We ended that at Easter. Didn't we have incredible Easter services? They were incredible and awesome. And that took place because of a lot of hands. Hundreds of people helping and doing. And I didn't mention them in first service. Several of them were here. But man, I'm so grateful for all those. I mean, it took four people, Shama, Travis, and Megan, and Suki, to put that big mural on the wall out there. I mean, that is chalk. They put a lot of time and effort into that. Daniel Cox and Jesus built that crown of thorns. And I mean, just all the people that served, that helped usher and greet and seat. And I was so blessed by this service that all of you helped seat everybody, that we didn't start this message until we had everybody at a seat. So I want to thank all of you for serving and loving and caring about people that came on Easter. We had incredible services. And so, but I'm shifting now, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, growing up, I never even really heard about the Holy Spirit. You know, and, you know, I think maybe once I noticed somebody said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I understand a Father and Son, but the Holy Spirit, that's like, ooh, God, you know, it's something, you know, just kind of way out there. And you hardly ever heard any teaching about the Holy Spirit. You really didn't hear anything about the Holy Spirit. And I had a pastor I know that he wrote a book called The God I Never Knew, because he grew up like me in a denominational church that never talked about the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, we know God the Father, we know God the Son, but what about God the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to teach on the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that is manifested and the one that is moving on the earth on behalf of God the Father and God the Son. It's so vital that we know him. You know, a lot of people refer to the Holy Spirit almost like an it. Like he's an it. No, he's a him. And even though God expresses himself as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he is one God, not three. And he made us in his likeness, in his image. And it's so vital that we connect with and know the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that we are not just saved by the Holy Spirit, but full of the Holy Spirit. It's so vital. He's the one that leads, guides, and directs us in this life. And God made us in his likeness and image, and this is how he made us. And this is how I understand that he is one, even though he expresses himself three different ways, is that I have a body, I have a mind, which is my will, my intellect, my emotions, and then I have a spirit. I have a spirit. I'm three parts, you're three parts, but we are one. I would never say to Michelle, I just want to talk to your right hand. You know, no, or I just want to talk to your mind. Just shut your spirit off, shut your flesh off. I just want to talk to your, no, listen, I would talk to her. She's one. I'm one. You're one, even though you're made up of three parts. That's how we're made up in his likeness and his image. And I'm going to tell you, your flesh has its own voice. The Bible talks a lot about being led by the flesh. How does the flesh lead? What is convenient? What is immediate? What is selfish? What is pleasurable in the moment? But do you know not all those things are good for you? There's a price to pay for living in the flesh. And you know your flesh has its own will, because my spirit and my mind has never told my body one time at 3:00 in the morning to have a leg cramp. I didn't wake up going, oh my goodness, I thought about that and it happened. A good leg cramp to wake up with, you know. No, I never thought that once. My spirit never said, let's wake up to a leg cramp. Now, you know you have a physiology. Your flesh has a physiology and has a voice all its own. And, you know, as I was growing up in the old days, for all the young people, they used to make movies where they would show an angel on one shoulder and a devil on another speaking to your mind. They were speaking into your ears. And they understood spiritual principles that are not always shown in today's world. But that was a spiritual principle that people understood, that you had, if you knew Jesus, you had the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and the voice of the Spirit is always trying to lead you to life and to good things and doing the right thing. They also understood you had a flesh that would always try to lead you to the most selfish, convenient thing that possible, and usually the wrong thing, leading you the wrong direction. And then they also knew you had a mind that had to make the decision which direction you were going. That's why they would have it on each shoulder, speaking into each ear, knowing that this mind, once you know Jesus in here, you have a spirit leading you the right direction, you have a flesh leading you the wrong direction, but you have a mind that has to make a decision. Because you're a three-part being, you have a three-part being, and one part of that is not redeemed. That's your flesh. It's not full of your flesh is not redeemed. It still wants to do what it wants to do. So if you're a three-part being and you have to choose a direction, that means the majority is going to rule you. So whoever votes together, if two parts vote together, that's the direction you're going to go. When your spirit is dead and you have only a flesh and a mind that's unrenewed by the word, those two are always going to vote to do the wrong things. But if you have the Spirit of God inside of you, and your flesh is saying do what's wrong, your spirit is saying to do what's right, and you have meditated on the Word of God, and the Spirit of God has renewed your mind, that your mind and your spirit will vote together to do the right thing. Majority rules. The difference between us and God is there is no pulling of the other direction. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are always going one direction, the same way, unified, perfect harmony, perfect unity, all at once. That's the difference between us and God. He doesn't have a flesh pulling him the wrong direction. When God showed up in the flesh, he showed up in the form of Jesus. Jesus said, I only do the will of the Father. What I saw the Father say and do, I only do. Only do. That's all he ever did. They're in perfect harmony and perfect direction. Whereas we still have part of us that's not going the right direction. Now, the good news I have for you is that when Jesus comes back and gets our bodies, he's going to give us a renewed body, an immortal body. And for once, we will all be going, spirit, soul, and body, the same direction in heaven. But right now, God is going... The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are doing the same thing, going the same direction, always in perfect unity and perfect harmony. And he said something so powerful in the book of John that it shook the apostles and shakes people today. But I want you to understand it. It's in John chapter 16, and we're going to look at some scriptures above and below this to unpack this whole thing, what Jesus was saying. But in John 16:7, he said this right here. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Wow. The apostles are looking at Jesus, the Son of Almighty God, doing all these miracles, doing all this stuff. And they're like, how can it be to our advantage that you would leave? This statement blew their minds because they didn't understand who the Holy Spirit was. And today, there's a lot of people that are Christians that still do not know the Holy Spirit. They pray to the Father in the name of the Son, but have no idea how to flow with and be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. And I want to introduce so many of you to the Holy Spirit, but I also want to remind those who do know the Holy Spirit that he's alive and well, and he's not living outside of you. He's living in you. And so Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and King of kings, says, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send who? Him to you. He's not an it, he's a him. He's a him. If I go away, and when I go away, I'm going to send him to you. And it's going to be to your advantage. While Jesus was still on the earth, and he had not been crucified, and he has not risen from the dead, and been glorified and ascended into heaven, he could not send the Holy Spirit. Could not. Not would not. Could not send the Holy Spirit. So what had to happen? Jesus had to live. He had to be born of a virgin, live, fulfill all Bible prophecy, do everything right, die for our sins on the cross, be risen from the dead, ascend into heaven as the mercy seat of God, the final sacrifice that forgave our sins, and sit at the right hand of the Father with heaven as his throne and the earth as his footstool in leadership and lordship. When that happened, then he could send the Holy Spirit. Then he could send the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was in the flesh on the earth, he couldn't be everywhere all at once. But now that he's ascended and he sent the Holy Spirit, he can live in every human being. If they want him to, he can operate in every human being all at once throughout the whole world. He is moving because Jesus ascended. He sent the Holy Spirit to us to operate everywhere, all at once, with all power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's why it was to our advantage. They didn't understand it, but it was to their advantage. It's to our advantage. Because now, instead of Jesus living on the earth, being in one spot at one time, now God is everywhere all at once, and now instead of living outside of us, Jesus lived outside of them. Now, because of the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit live in us. Wow. Now we have him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every minute, every second. Every second. Do you notice he said he would tell us and teach us truth? He would tell us and teach us truth? You know, the first thing you want a teacher to do is to be not charismatic, not funny, not get along with people, not any of those things. The first thing you want a teacher to do is to be knowledgeable of the subject matter. I had a lot of teachers that were fun. I don't learn nothing. They were fun. I didn't learn nothing. I said this about Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim's a substitute, and he's fun. He gets along with everybody. He's a blast to be around. And there might be some subject. If he's teaching Bible, man, you can want him in there all day. But I don't know about history. I don't know about calculus or, algebra 2 trigonometry. I don't know if you want him teaching you science. But he's fun. I know with my son Cody, we had a friend at church that opened up a daycare, and they had a pre-K, and we thought, man, she's awesome with kids. We're going to put old Cody in pre-K with her. And man, Cody was pretty shy back then, never was a day that he did not want to go. He was up and ready and like, I'm going to school. And then we put him in kindergarten at a different, he had to actually go to kindergarten. And we found out real quick, Cody had tons of fun in pre-K, but he didn't learn anything in pre-K. And that other kids that learned, man, they were way ahead, and we had to play catch up, with his education, because she was tons of fun, man. They come home dirty, playing in the mud. They had fun, but didn't learn much. So the first thing you want a teacher to be is knowledgeable of the subject matter that they're teaching. I had teachers who were not fun, not easy to get along with, but they were very knowledgeable of their subject and could teach it, and I learned a great deal from them. Might not always like them. They might not have had this fun person. I had fun going to their class, but I learned something. Amen? Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't just know a few things, The Holy Spirit knows everything. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Almighty God. He knows everything all at once. Every subject, every issue, he knows the past, the present, and the future. And guess what? He lives inside of you. He lives inside of you. And he knows everything. You would think we'd all want to get to know him, the Holy Spirit, a lot more, because he's the one Jesus sent to teach us. He's our teacher. And not only does he have knowledge of the subject matter, but even something greater. He loves you. Now, when you have a teacher that has great knowledge of their subject matter and is an outstanding teacher, but also cares about you, now you talk about learning. I had teachers like that that I still remember. I'm 61 years old, so 56 years ago, I was in kindergarten, and I still remember my kindergarten teacher. She had not only great knowledge of all the subjects she was teaching us, but her name was Mrs. Love. That was her name. Now, you can't have a better name for a kindergarten teacher. You can go meet Mrs. Love. And that was her real name. But not only was it her name, but she was really, really caring. She cared about the kids. But she not only had knowledge, she not only cared, but she always told us the truth about situations and circumstances. So not only does the Holy Spirit care or have knowledge, he not only cares, but he loves you enough to tell you the truth. She loved us enough to tell the truth. I remember one time I fell off the spider bars. I don't know if you guys know, that's like the monkey bars, but it's in a dome. We call it the spider web or whatever you call it. And I was climbing around up there. Now they don't even have those on most playgrounds because they're dangerous. And so back then, you know, we did things that were dangerous and learned about danger. And we learned how to overcome danger. And so I was climbing around on that thing. And you inherently, if you're going to climb around on it, it's awkward. You know, you're going to fall off. Well, I fell off. I fell right through a hole and pow, knocked the breath out of me. Skinned my knee up, and I remember her coming to get me. She scooped me up, Miss Love did, and carried me over, set me down, hugged on me, loved on me, stopped me crying, patched up my knee, and I'm okay, thank you, Miss Love. And she's like, "For Troy, I got some good news for you." I said, "What's that, Miss Love?" She said, "You're gonna go right back and climb right back on the top of those bars." I am. Yes, you are. Really? Yeah, really. Now get up, go. Pop me on the butt. Go climb up there right now. And she made me go climb up, and I was watching her. I'm looking, she's like. I remember it very clearly. And I climbed to the top. And when I got to the top, I was smiling. I looked over, and she goes like, "Atta boy. Good job." Why? Because Mrs. Love not only had knowledge of her subject, not only cared, but she taught me truth, and she taught me the truth about overcoming things that might hurt you before, but you get back up and you climb it again. You go back at life again. Listen, 56 years ago, I still remember her. I remember her face very clear because she had all these things. She's a human being. Someone greater than Mrs. Love. Someone that is love, is living inside of you, knows has all the knowledge of the universe, all the knowledge of God Almighty, loves you, doesn't just love you, but is love and cares about you and will teach you truth that no human being can teach you, lives inside of you. His name is the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go away. I can't even send him to you until I go." He could not send the Holy Spirit to us until he lived, died, rose from the dead, and ascended to heaven. That's the only time he could send the Holy Spirit to us. Remember what he said? If I don't go away, I cannot send him. But because I do go away, I do ascend, I do conquer sin and death for you, now I can send the Holy Spirit to enforce. To enforce what? That Jesus conquered sin. To enforce what? That Jesus defeated the devil. To enforce what? To enforce all the authority and rule of the Lord and King Jesus Christ on earth. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us the truth about Jesus and about his authority and power and what he does and what he did, what he does, and what he's always going to do. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's why it's so important that we know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We know all about him and how he functions and how he moves and how he lives inside of us. He's the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that he said, the same Spirit that raised me from the dead now lives in you. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead raised our spirits from the dead, resurrected us, and resurrects our lives on earth, and will be the one that resurrects our bodies and invites us and leads us to heaven in the next life. It's the Holy Spirit. That's who it is. That's who he is. He guides us into the truth and power of Jesus. Jesus crucified for our sins, our forgiveness of his sins by his holy blood, and his triumph over all the works of the devil. And he tells us that not only has Jesus done all that and teaches us about that and how to live in that, but he also tells us Jesus is coming again to reign and rule completely. He's coming back. He is coming back. It's not Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, I'll be back. It is Jesus Christ saying, I will be back. And I'll renew all things. And his voice on the earth is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that teaches us that Jesus defeated all the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says this. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It is the Holy Spirit that not only teaches us that Jesus destroyed his works, but also empowers us to overcome the works of the devil. Now you might read that scripture and say, hold on a second, everybody that sinned is not going to make it into heaven. What it's talking about there is those who practice sin. Those who practice sin. And the Holy Spirit has come to teach us and to help us not to practice sin, but to practice righteousness. That means that we make decisions to be right with God instead of decisions to be right with sin, and that we practice doing right instead of practicing doing wrong. Does that mean that when you practice doing right that you never do wrong? No, it just means that you're not practicing to do wrong. When I was in the world, and some of you that were in the world too, you know you practice sin. How did you practice it? Well, you planned it, just like any other practice. You woke up in the morning and said, man, I can't wait till Friday because we're planning a party on Friday. And we're going to, I don't know about you, but the more I practice sin, the better I got at it. Because anything you practice, you get good at. Problem is, we thought we were building a platform like the Tower of Babel. We thought we were building a tower. We weren't building a tower. We were digging a hole. And we were so deceived, we thought we were building a platform that we could be elevated on instead of a grave that we were going to get buried in. That's the deception of sin. Sin always thinks it's going here when sin is always going this way. It's digging a pit that they will fall into and get trapped in. And that's what sin does. And those who practice sin, that's where that leads to. But the Holy Spirit teaches us how to practice righteousness. Let's go back to John 16 and start there in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I love it that the word helper is the word in the Greek, the paraclete, which literally is translated helper. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Almighty God, lives inside of us to help us. Why is that? Because Jesus, you know, it is amazing that God the Father, God the Son, God himself is a servant. He's a leader and he is fully God. But he has a servant's heart. And the Holy Spirit has a servant's heart. You know when you're saved, you know, like our statement, one of our core values is save people, serve people. You know, man, when I got born again, it's crazy. It's just so crazy. When I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, I couldn't believe the changes that took place in here. They hadn't taken place up here yet. And so I wasn't voting always to do what's right, but once I understood the Holy Spirit taught me the Word of God, and I got it right up here, then when the Spirit of God spoke, it lined up with the Word of God, and that's the direction I would choose. And one of the things that taught me very early on was that how to be a servant. The only person I wanted to serve was myself. People who are full of the devil are the most selfish people on the planet. People who are full of the Spirit, they want to serve, and they love to serve. They enjoy serving. I mean, I love to watch how our church family not only serves, but loves to serve. People come up and say, Pastor, thank you for letting me serve in the church. And I'm like, time out. Thank you for serving in the church. Amen? And I felt the same way. I was so grateful they let me serve in the church. Why? Because, man, the Holy Spirit's a helper. He's a servant. And when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you love to serve. You learn to serve your family. You learn to serve others at work. You learn to serve God. And I love it that he sends the Spirit of Almighty God is sent to live inside of us to help, to serve us. And that's just amazing to me. It's amazing to me. And that's why saved people, people that are really saved, love to serve. And they don't love to serve to get recognition or not, or you know, be patted on the back or any. They love to serve. They love to serve because they know that Jesus served them. It's kind of like when you it's easy when you understand what you've been forgiven for, it's easier to forgive others. When you understand that Jesus came to serve you and save your life, it becomes easier to serve others. And so the Holy Spirit came to help, came to serve, and he said, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Next verse. Then he begins to unpack why. And he says, and when he has come, he will convict the world. Everybody say the world. Of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So, one of the first things the Holy Spirit's going to do, he comes to help us. And then the next thing he comes to do is to convict the world. Do you notice it didn't say to condemn the world? It didn't say to condemn the world. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you, I came to save you. And so he comes with conviction, not condemnation. And he says, I'm coming to convict the world of sin. And I'm so grateful because he convicted me of sin. Then he said, I've come to also convict you of righteousness, that the only way to be right with God and to be right in this life and the next is to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and to receive forgiveness of your sins. Otherwise, judgment is coming. Judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. There's a great judgment day coming to all of us. Even to Christians, yes, but we're not going to be judged whether we go to heaven or hell. We're going to be judged on rewards. And there's going to be no jealousy and envy because the Spirit of truth is going to say, it is right that that person gets 7 crowns and I get 1. It is right that that person is an elder in the kingdom of heaven. They're the 24 elders sitting around the throne. It's right that David's up there. It's right that Abraham's up there. It's right that Paul and Peter and John, it's right that they're up. There'll be no jealousy or envy. It'll just be truth. Like, I deserve this and they deserve that and it's all good. It's justice, it's right, and it's truth. But we'll receive rewards, and our life will be judged, and what was wood, hay, and stubble, otherwise was worthless, will burn up, and what was precious to God will be rewarded for. And we won't be like I said, jealous or enviable, or we won't say, well, that's not fair, because God, it will be exactly fair. And anybody who don't think it's fair, God will just say, let me rewind the tape. It's kind of like that commercial, that football commercial where they throw down the review flag. You know, and that one little girl tells her mama, that lady says, why don't you come over and watch a game with us? And the other girl says, oh, we're never going to come watch the games with you guys anymore. My mama says, you guys talk too much. And the mom's going, oh, no, that's not, oh, no, that's not why. We've just been busy. And the daughter goes, throws down the review flag. And the mom goes, oh, no. And so the other lady's like, let's watch and see what was said. And they watch it, and the mom goes, well, you know, because it was the truth. And guys, there's going to be, on that day, the spirit of truth is going to show you. If you read Judges, if you read Revelation chapter 20, it says books will be opened. Books. You have a book. The book of your life is being recorded in heaven. There's a book written about you and me. And guess what? Because the Holy Spirit sees everything inside your mind, your imagination, your thoughts, your secret places, and your public places, everything's written about. And those books will be opened in front of everybody. Man, it got awful quiet in here. Everybody's like, I gotta write some new pages in here, man. God. Good thing about it, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins won't be shown. Oh, man, some of you just say, amen. No, some of you need to say, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm with you. But our life will be shown as to what the rewards we deserve and the things that were of no value and the things that were of value. But the world, the people who die and don't know Jesus, they'll be shown everything. They'll be shown moments like this. They'll be shown moments at funerals and weddings and when their mama said on the phone, son, just give your heart to Jesus. And they're like, oh, mom, knock it off. I don't want to hear it. If you're always going to talk about Jesus, I don't want nothing to do with you anymore. If all you're going to do is tell me about Jesus, I guarantee they'll be shown every single moment that God reached out to them. Every time. All around the world, everybody will be shown the opportunities and the things that God showed them and the things that God did to try to reach them. Because he loves people. They have multiple opportunities on the earth. And that's every nation, every tongue, and every people group. Not just living in Christian nations, even in non-Christian nations. God is reaching out to them every single day. Every single day. I said every single day the Holy Spirit is convicting people. Hey, listen, sin has a price. Not just in this life, but in the next. Every single day saying, hey, but you can get right because Jesus is the truth. He came to glorify Jesus. Jesus is. He did die for your sins. He did rise from the dead. And he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he did it to save your life because he loves you just like I love you. And he's telling people all the time how to get right with God constantly. The Muslims look into the sky and see the universe and God is speaking clear. The Holy Spirit's going, see? And he's speaking to those who practice these false religions that they all end up in turmoil, in chaos, in death. And he's saying, see? It's false. It's not true. Look at the nations that honor God. Guys, every nation I've been to, that doesn't honor God is chaotic. A stoplight is a suggestion. It's a suggestion. I like driving sometimes in Juarez because there's really no rules. And sometimes I just drive up on the sidewalk and drive around something. I mean, there's no rule. Guys, there's no rules. When I lived in Iran, there'd be four lanes of traffic and there'd be one little bitty stop sign or light. Just one. And it didn't matter if it was red, yellow, or green, everybody went. And you just navigated through the cars. It was chaos. People were still living, and still to this day are living like it's 16th century. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom, and there is order. You notice the further away we get from God, the less order we have in our country. And that means the more dictatorship our government has to be, the more control our government wants over our lives. The more Christianity, the more where the Spirit of the Lord is, the more freedom there is. Why? Because there's more self-control. And there's less chaos. Someone say amen. That's what the Spirit of God does in our own life. Let me say, in our own life. I got to show you this. I didn't show this in first service. I got to show you this. I know I gave them the scripture. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. I got to show you this because this lines up with what I'm talking about. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the what? Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That word hovering means brooding. Like a mother bird over its nest. Brooding, like protecting, brooding, loving, caring. Where there's no life and there's chaos, the Spirit of God is brooding. He's like hovering, like, just let me help you. Let me bring life. There was no life on the planet. And he's like, I'm the God of life. Let me bring life. It was chaos. The whole universe was chaos. Look at our universe. It's chaos out there. The universe is chaos. Except where? Here. There's no life on anything else except here. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brings order. And he brings life. And when God spoke, God the Father spoke. And when he spoke, Jesus is the Word of God. The Father spoke the Son, and the Holy Spirit brought life in order. God the Father sent Jesus. And when you accept his Lordship, the Word of God made flesh over your life, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and he brings life and starts removing the chaos and bringing order. How many of you can say, man, before you knew Jesus and had the Holy Spirit, your life was dead and had a lot of chaos? A lot. There was so much chaos, so much disorder. Gosh. And that's, the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hovers over the world and over people like, let me give you life. Let me bring order. He broods like a mother hen. He's like, oh, please let me protect you. Let me help you. Let me bring life to you. Let me save you. Let me help you. That's why, guys, every person's going to be without excuse on the day of judgment. There'll be no excuses. There's not going to be any excuses. The Holy Spirit hovers. He said he comes to help those who know Jesus, guide us in the truth. Then he says, I hover over the world. God wants every human being on the planet to go to heaven with us. And if you really love people, you do too. You want them to have a life inside of them. You want them to be alive and on their way to heaven and not dead on their way to hell. Our heart should be his heart. Amen. Listen, every eye closed, if you'll bow your head and just close your eyes to remove distractions. It's not for any religious reason. And even online, thank you for being online and watching. And man, bow your head, close your eyes. And those who know Jesus, man, you ought to be in prayer right now. You ought to be in prayer right now that those who don't know him will listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to them right now about sin. Sin has a price. You pay it in this life, but you really pay it in the next. It has a price to pay in this life. And then eternal death in the next. And the Holy Spirit's like, listen, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to convict you. You're already condemned. He's not here to kick you while you're down. He's trying to help you up. That only through the Lordship of Jesus, only through surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ can you be right with God and forgiven of your sins. And the day of judgment will be a day of reward, not a day of being sentenced to hell forever. People say all the time, I hear them say, man, it's like hell on earth. No, it's not. There's a lot of bad that can happen on earth, but it's not even close to hell. There's still hope on earth. There is absolutely no way out of hell. There's a way out. There's a way out on earth. His name is Jesus. He made a way where there was no way. God did, because he loves you. And his Spirit is hovering over you right now. Don't let this just be another reminder of, if I would have, I should have when I was 5, I should have when I was 14, I should have when I was 20, I should have when I was 30, I should have when I was 40. Oh, I wish when I was 50 that I would have surrendered my life to Jesus and started living right. Listen, don't have any regrets today. Regardless of what age you are sitting in this room, I know people who surrendered their life at 5 years old and never looked back. My wife is one of them. I was 18. I know people at 85. My father was 62. Don't regret anymore. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, trying to save your life. Don't reject it again. Don't ignore it again. Today's the day. Let today be the day that the Spirit of life comes inside of you, brings order and peace on the inside of you and then on the outside of you. It won't be perfect, but you'll no longer have a desire to practice sin, to get good at it, and live with the results. You'll have a heart to practice what's right. You'll get good at that. So if you're here or online and you've never prayed, let's pray right now. Maybe you've just run away. Maybe you just fell. I fell so many times, but I kept running home, and I would never not run home. I run home every time. I run to God, not away from him. And you've been running away or want to run away, don't do it. Run to him. He'll forgive you and help you. So if you want to pray for the first time or the next time, I'm going to ask you to do two things. On the count of three in this room, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, it's me. I need to get right with God. Online, I'm going to ask you to send us a message. I'm praying for the first time or the next time. Then after that, we'll all pray together. That's the second thing. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand up in here and say, it's me. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, man. Thank you, thank you. All around this room. Wow, so many. Thank you. I see all those hands. Let's all pray together. Let's say this together. Say, God, I believe you love me, that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. You raised him from the dead, and he's alive. I believe that. And because I do, I ask that you forgive me for all the times I've disobeyed you, rejected you, and hurt myself and others around me. And I receive your forgiveness today. In Jesus, I say to you, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. You surrendered your life to save mine. I surrender my life to you. And I receive the Holy Spirit. And I thank you now. You use my life to save others. Until I see you in heaven, teach me how to live life and life abundantly on earth. Thank you for saving my life. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Everybody have a great day. Let's celebrate the goodness of God.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.